The year?
1860.
The place?
London. Characters?
Me, that is Gerald Spavin of the publishing firm Spavin and Spavin, and my mother...
Mrs. Edith Spavin.
Also, there is Cordelia, my wife, an actress by profession, and Primus.
Her idiot boy by a previous marriage.
He's my junior partner.
Formerly, Spavin and Spavin published religious works. But since I was forced out of the firm...
Well, we publish anything that sells, really.
God, however, is avenged, for nothing that they publish does sell. So now...
Read on.
Bookcases by Martin Wade, with Michael Cochrane as Primus, David Horovitch as Gerald, Maggie Steed as Cordelia, Elizabeth Spriggs as Edith, Charles Simpson as Simeon, and Joan Sims as Mrs. Quirk. Episode 1. Self-Help.
Primus?
Mr. Spavin! Gerald! Stepater! Do come in. How are you?
Anxious, distressed, depressed, for want of three better words. I said the same, you may recall, this morning when you were getting up and I was leaving for work.
Of course! Mon Dieu, how time flies!
I ought to tell you that when I married my darling Cordelia and invited her to share the Spavin home, her son, the wretched Primus, came too. In fact, it seems to me the wretched Primus is more of a presence in the Spavin home than Cordelia herself. For she, being a gregarious soul, has a tendency towards the West End.
Primus.
Stepater?
I should like to convene a meeting.
By all means. I'll get Simeon to consult my diary.
This Simeon is a friend of Primus, whom he has taken on to assist him. They compete with each other in uselessness.
What kind of meeting is this, Peter? Editorial? Marketing? Health and efficiency?
Crisis.
Crisis?
What crisis?
Ah, morning, Simeon. Tell me, Simeon, do we have a small fenêtre of opportunity 3 weeks hence? Let me see.
Primus, I want the meeting today. Now.
Today? Now? Good heavens, that sort of crisis. Simeon, you will be clerk, Silver Blair. Ring for tears, will you? The floor is yours. Speak.
Thank you. The situation is this. We are in crisis.
So I gather.
Since you joined the firm, Primus, costs have risen by 77%.
One must expend, you know, to expand.
Oh, very good, sir.
And income has fallen by a similar figure.
A blip, merely.
That's it, a blip. Project your figures over the next 5 years and...
5 years? We shall be fortunate if we last 5 months. Now, I have drawn up a list of emergency measures. Proposal one... We move to smaller accommodation.
No, no. We like it here.
Proposal two. We put an end to hospitality lunches.
Out of the question.
Hospitality lunches are an essential feature of a publisher's modus operandi.
Any more impossible suggestions, Stepater?
Proposal three. We cut the number of regular resident staff and buy in external services as and when required.
What?
Afternoon.
Mrs. Quirk. Mr. Spavin is intending to introduce widespread redundancies.
Well, then he's a cruel, flinty-hearted tyrant, and he'll not be receiving his lovely, soothing cup of tea and crunchy biscuits.
Oh, now, look, this was a proposal, merely.
A tea, Mr. Primus?
Thank you, Mrs. Quirk.
Tea, Mr. Simeon.
Thank you.
And this one, yes. Oh. Oh. Is for me.
Oh, dear.
May I speak? Speak, Simeon. In my view, Mr. Spavin, you are looking at the problem.
If problem there be.
Crunchy biscuit, Mr. Primus.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Gill.
From the wrong end of the telescope.
Well said. Meaning?
Well, instead of contemplating ways of saving money, we should be looking at ways of making it.
Oh, well said again.
Crunchy biscuit, Mr. Simeon.
Thank you.
The lottery. People make money on the lottery.
They do indeed, Mrs. Quirk. Useful point. Any other business? No? Splendid. So, Stepeter. Happy?
I have been driven out. I've been expelled from the family firm. I must stay at home and wait and pray, heavy at heart. And all the while, Spavin and Spavin, publisher since 1749, hastens towards disaster. Not only that...
Darling, there you are.
But I must share this home of mine with Gerald's newly acquired wife and son.
Darling... Why are you sitting glumly in the shadows?
Madam?
Darling, please, Cordelia. We're all family now. I'm going.
For good?
For dinner.
With Gerald?
No, darling, with Fruity Firkins.
Fruity Firkins.
He's an actor.
Madam.
Yes, darling?
What you are doing is irresponsible, indefensible, and highly contemptible.
Heavens, why is that, darling?
You are married to my son. You took solemn vows of matrimony. You have duties and obligations.
If you say so, darling. But I never promised I'd become a nun.
Ah. Evening, ladies.
Had a nice day at the office, darling?
No.
Gorgeous, darling. Mustache.
Mother, why are you sitting in the dark?
I am weighed down with lowness of spirits and blackness of thoughts.
I think I'll join you, if I may.
Your wife is intending to have dinner with a man.
Ah, yes. Augustus, someone, I believe. Or is it Frederick?
Neither. It is a fruity someone.
Oh, what a woman. So many friends. So much admired.
Leave her, Gerald, please, before it is too late. Throw her out on the street where she belongs.
I can't do that to her, Mother. She's my wife, and I love her and so forth.
Well, then cast off that idiot boy.
But if I do that, Mother, then my wife will leave me. Shall I tell you why you are unhappy, Mother?
Aside, you mean, from the fact that my son has married a Jezebel and has allowed the firm of Spavin and Spavin to decline into financial ruin?
You're at a loose end, Mother. Now that you are no longer active in the firm, you find that you are prone to dark thoughts in dark corners. You need something of a diversion.
I put my trust in the Lord, Gerald, for he is my light and my salvation. He sitteth above the water flood, and joy cometh in the morning.
Let us hope so, Mother. But in the meantime, have you thought about taking up a hobby?
Ah, Sibium! Salut. Sit down.
Thank you, Primus.
This is a working lunch.
Is it?
Yes. You're working and I'm having lunch.
Oh.
I've been glancing over this action sheet you kindly drew up after our crisis meeting 3 weeks ago. Item one. Find a dead-certain, cast-iron, money-spinning publishing sensation.
Yes. Tricky.
Item two. Find another dead-certain, cast-iron, money-spinning publishing sensation. Any suggestions?
Well, I was conversing recently with Mrs. Quirk, and she revealed that she knows a man who knows Prince Albert.
Ah, and who might he be?
Prince Albert is the Queen's consort.
Yes, Timmy, and I'd heard as much. I meant, who is known to Mrs. Quirk, who knows Prince Bert?
Her brother-in-law. His name is John, and he's the Prince's butler. Through the butler, you see, one might gain access to the Prince.
Aha! I begin to get your drift. A book by the Bert. With due encouragement from Spavin and Spavin, the royal crowd talks frankly and for the first time about his moustache, the drains at Windsor, how to co-found museums and set up great exhibitions, and, in a chapter entitled Victoria Cross, describes how he contravened royal etiquette in between the matrimonial sheets. Top-notch, Simeon. It'll be the hit of the 60s.
This way, gent.
Thanks.
Primus and I have obtained a royal appointment. We are to see the prince himself, secure a contract...
Left!
And thereby, thank God, secure the future of the firm.
Right!
This is very good of you, you know.
No, it ain't. You give me 300 quid for me services.
Am I?
Yes, yes, dear Peter. It's all been agreed.
Oh.
Wait here, please, gents.
I've never been introduced to royalty as such.
There's nothing to it.
Do we bow when we see him?
3 times, and kiss his fragrant mitt. And then he'll ask you how you are and what you do.
Right. Very well, thank you. I'm a publisher. Very well, thank you. I'm a publisher.
His Royal Highness will see you now.
Splendid. Where is the cove?
Down the other end of the room.
Very well, thank you. I'm a publisher.
You have 2 minutes, starting from now.
2 minutes? It'll take that long to reach him. Best foot forward, step it up. Your Royal Highness, or may I call you YRH? My stepdaughter and I have a proposal to put to you.
Yes.
It's quite simple. You spill the beans about your good self and your life with Vicky, and we'll publish the said beans in a lavishly illustrated single-volume edition. No need for you to actually put quill to parchment. Just chat for an hour or two to a hand-picked, esteemed and trusted ghostwriter, viz. Simeon Wilmot Huff. Nick a few pics from the royal family's daguerreotype album and leave the rest to us. Whew. Okay, YRH.
Ich bin schön pleased to meet you. How are you? And what do you do?
Oh, who's there? Stop! I have a gun. Help!
Darling, why have you created an obstacle course outside the bedroom?
What's the time?
3 o'clock, darling.
Where have you been?
On the razzle, darling. Do you really have a gun?
No.
That's a pity. You could have shot that owl.
Those things on the landing, they're all Mother's. She's been trying her hand at pottery, dressmaking, indoor bowls, and several other enterprises.
Well?
I thought she needed a hobby, you see, now that she's not involved with the firm and has so much time on her hands.
Absolutely, darling. I'm a fervent believer in personal pursuits.
I have taken up painting, and Mrs. Quirk is sitting for me. Chin a little higher, please, Mrs. Quirk.
I don't think my chin goes any higher than this, Mrs. Favin. So, what happened to the flower arranging?
I arranged not to continue with it.
The crochet work?
All undone.
Shame.
Somehow it seems I'm too distracted, too unhappy to concentrate my mind. Of course, the blame for my condition lies with my deluded, infatuated son. God have pity on me. For I have a wayward and foolish boy who loves not his mother.
And in whom you are not best pleased.
As you may be aware, Mrs. Quirk, I never held an official position within the firm, nor did I have any ownership thereof. But I was in the adjacent office whenever Gerald needed me, which he all too frequently did.
That's right.
I was his guide and mentor.
That's right.
I was the firm's matriarch.
You were its imposing figurehead, Mrs. Baby. And now that you are gone, they are all at sea. How is the portrait, Mrs. Favey?
I have done with it, Mrs. Quirk.
Oh?
Do you dare to see it? There.
Oh, Lord. Is that what I look like?
I hope, Mrs. Quirk, that it is not what anyone looks like. I here and now renounce my brush. And my oils. I shall make one last endeavour, one final attempt to discover a pleasurable and diverting pastime. But I tell you, Mrs. Quirk, if that fails, I will take to my bed, and I will never, never get up.
I didn't know you were a friend of Dr. Samuel Smiles.
No, nor did I.
Darling, I make friends pretty well indiscriminately.
Dearest Cordelia was out again last night. She is out every night, it seems. She is companionable almost to a fault. And while she was out, it appears that she made a new acquaintance.
Who is Dr. Samuel Smiles?
He works for the South Eastern Railway.
Prime cut! We'll be able to travel free.
Also, he's written a best-selling book.
Trainspotter's Guide, 1859?
No, Primus, it's called Self-Help. It's one of those how-to guides, you know, for those who want to be successful in life.
Never heard of it. Don't need it.
Of course you don't, darling. But if I were to take advantage of my recently formed friendship with him, I might be able to persuade him to write a follow-up.
Ah, yes. Help yourself to some more.
Which would be published by Spavin and Spavin.
And make pots of money. Capital idea.
Perhaps I should write to Mr. Smiles.
Doctor, darling.
And formally invite him to our offices here.
No, no, there's no need for that. I'm seeing him tomorrow, as it happens.
Oh.
Morning, all.
Simeon, we've just discovered our second publishing phenomenon extraordinaire.
Well, Primus, here's your third. Uh-huh. You've heard of Palgrave, of course.
No, never.
The grapevine has it that he's planning to bring out an anthology of verse called Palgrave's Golden Treasury.
The grotesque conceit of the man.
My notion is this. Why don't we do a spoiler on the fellow and produce a poetry anthology of our very own?
My God, yes. Pourquoi pas? I'll call it Primus's Poetical Depository.
Do you like poetry, darling?
No, never read it. But Simeon is a poetry buff. He's even scribbled a few stanzas himself.
Yes, thank you. This is called On Gazing into a Mirror. Oh, elusive visage.
Lovely, but enough. So, Simeon here can do the needful. copy out several hundred dreary ballads and silly ditties, write a pretentious preface, and we've got a bestseller! Another bestseller! Hurrah!
I think I'd like to inject a note of realism here.
Of course you would, Stepater. You invariably do. But don't worry, we won't take a blind bit of notice.
My dear lady.
My dear Dr. Smiles, though I think I shall call you Samuel.
I am, as you see, deeply ensconced my crowded desk.
Or Sam, or Sammy, or Smiley.
Then shall stay so till 6 or the clock. Work, 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 work. That's my motto. Work, 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 work.
That's a very long and a very tedious motto, darling. My motto is, have fun. Shall we go?
Madam, oh, madam, believe me, I want tay. My heart says aye. My wee loins say aye. Aye. But I fear it's out of the question. Look, will ye, at this monster. Pile of paperwork.
Yes, darling.
And besides?
Yes, darling.
I'm a married man.
That's all right, darling. I'm a married woman. But the question is, have you fallen hopelessly in love with me?
I have. Oh.
Gorgeous, darling. Now, let me put to you an exciting proposition.
Good evening, Mother. And what kind of day have you had today?
I've had a splendid day, thank you.
Oh.
In the morning, I read a book.
Ah, one of our publications, is it?
No, Gerald, it is not. This is a very useful book, and it is called How to Write a Bestseller in 3 Simple Steps.
Oh, really?
Simple step the first, think of a memorable title. Hmm. Simple step the second, think of a plot which can be described in no more than 4 words. Simple step the third, pretend to be someone who is young and exciting and whose face would look agreeable on the frontispiece.
Well, Mother, it couldn't be much simpler than that. And what did you do in the afternoon?
I began work on a bestseller, of course.
Oh, I see.
Here, look.
Good Lord. Betrayed.
A memorable title.
By Jonathan Dunwoody.
He's young, he's exciting, he's extremely good-looking. He's got the plot. And he's already written the first 3 chapters.
Primus, Simeon and I are on a train. Primus's notion. He was determined to take full advantage of my dearest wife's friendship with Dr. Smiles and the latter's association with the Southeastern Railway. Primus?
Yes, Stepater?
Where are we going as such?
I have no idea. Wherever it is, it's not costing us a penny, thanks to the good doctor. What I thought we'd do, Stepater, is spread our papers all over the table, talk about our work in very loud voices, and generally annoy the other passengers as much as we can. Such fun! Ah, here comes Simeon.
Excuse me. Whoops! Sorry. Oh, 3 coffees. Well, 2 1/4.
Simeon, when we get to a station, I want you to request that an electric telegraph be sent to the first person you can think of. Huh. Message? Hi, Primus here. I'm on a train at the moment. Now, Stepater, to work.
Yes.
I gather from the mater that Dr. Samuel Smiles has agreed to pen an enormously popular sequel to his enormously popular treatise, Self-Help. Projected sales? Vast. Next, Primus's poetical depository. Do you care to comment, Simeon?
Yes. Work in progress. Projected sales. Vast.
Splendid. Next, Albert's memorials. Positive news on this front, too. The Prince, via Mrs. Quirk's brother-in-law, has indicated his general assent to the project.
Really? Splendid.
Simeon, you are to present yourself at Windsor Castle at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning for a 2-minute interview, following which you will concoct a no-holds-barred, trousers-down, kiss-lick-and-tell expose of the royal family and all its very large houses. Projected sales of the said autobiography, vast. Happy, everyone? Yes, Stepater?
There is just one other thing.
Yes, Stepater.
Betrayed by Jonathan Dunwoody.
Never heard of it.
I came across the manuscript a little while ago. First 3 chapters and a synopsis, along with a faithful engraving of the author. I thought the work had a lot of promise, and I handed it to you, Primus, for your consideration.
Oh?
And you handed it straight away to me, Primus.
Splendid. Reader's report, please, Simeon.
Betrayed is the story of an attractive and highly virtuous widow whose son is nominally in charge of a publishing firm. The son is lured into an unsuitable marriage with an actress whose own son, a madman, takes over the firm and leads it towards ruin.
Oh, dear.
The virtuous widow's earnest prayers are finally answered when the madman is strangled by means of his necktie catching in a printing press.
Interesting plot.
In the humble reader's opinion, the book has every prospect of success, particularly among women with thoroughly empty lives. I recommend we give Mr. Dunwoody £200 by way of a commission to complete the novel in 3 volumes by the end of the year.
Splendid. Top rank. Yes, indeed. Yes, dear Peter?
I think it would only be right and proper to declare at this stage that Mr. Dunwoody is the nom de plume of someone who is known to me.
Nothing to be ashamed of, dear Peter. I number several writer chappies among my acquaintances. Who is the cove?
The cove is my mother.
Your mother?
Yes. She's been in rather low spirits recently. Writing has become something of a diversion for her.
Oh, really?
I can tell you, the acceptance of the book for publication will do her morale no end of good.
Perhaps, Stepdater, but I ought to point out to you that we're not in this business to provide therapy to the afflicted. Simeon, I want a second opinion.
Certainly, Primus. Betrayed by Jonathan Dunwoody. No, thank you.
Oh, och, lust, lust. My moral fibre shot to wee pieces. Oh.
Good morning, Smiley.
Oh, Cordelia, good morning to ye, and come here immediately.
Gorgeous, darling.
I want ye. I want ye.
I know, darling. But as ye are well aware, one never gets something for nothing in life. How is work going on the book, darling?
I've written nary a word.
Darling!
How can I write if all that I can think of is ye? When I dip my pen in the ink, I see your twa lips. When I gaze upon the paper, I see your twa breasties. Oh, Cordelia! Oh!
Gorgeous, darling. But it seems we have something of a problem here.
All that I have stood for, about to be overthrown. My sensible way of life, my family, my reputation.
Not only that, darling, but you're reneging on a promise to write a follow-up to Self-Help. I suggest, darling, that you take a very cold tub, open a copy of that best-selling book of yours, and sort yourself out.
Spavin and Spavin of Paternoster Row, the firm with a growing reputation for being at the cutting edge of British publishing, is proud to announce 3 new titles.
Darling!
Oh, hello, Mater. Any news from Southeast Trains?
Yes. Smiley's gone off the rails.
What? He can't do that.
He's a loving wreck, darling. The poor man's infatuated with me.
Of course he is, Mater. But what about Self-Help too?
No, darling. Not if Smiley can help it. He's renounced being sensible, and he's giving himself up to wantonness and unchastity.
Damn! That's one publishing sensation down the privy. Never mind. We've still got the big one from the Burt, do we not?
Yes, Primus. We most certainly do.
My God, Simeon.
500 pages of it.
You've done all this since yesterday?
No, Primus. This is the Prince's work, not mine.
He's written it himself?
Ja, Herr Primus. Das book is alles gedone and gedusted. And without anyone, zu helpen him. Read.
500 pages? Don't be absurd.
Well, read the first sentence, then. That will suffice.
Ich was in 1819 geboren in der Principality of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, und ich was ein little Mensch, schön, happy und handsome.
Good heavens, darling.
The prince informed me that, in his opinion, the manuscript is schön wunderbar. And that it is absolutely verboten to alter a single damned word.
The man's mad.
It's all that inbreeding, darling.
We can't possibly publish the wretched thing. So what are we going to do?
Well, Simeon, the way I see it, we should all partake of a lovely, soothing cup of tea. Mrs. Quirk! Oh, of course, there is one last hope. We still have Primus's poetical depository. Is it finished?
More or less.
Go fetch.
Well, actually, I have it here. More or less.
Rather more less, I think, than more. How many poems all told?
Six.
Six?
He's up.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Quirk. Six poems, Simeon, representing over 1,000 years of rhyming and rhythming. Damn it! Damn it! Damn it! Our three publishing phenomena all fizzled out. Oh, why am I surrounded by incompetence? Excluding yourself, Meta, and of course you, Mrs. Quirk.
I had a good read the other week.
I'm sure you did, Mrs. Quirk.
It was the first few chapters of a book called Betrayed by Jonathan Dunwoody, who is better known as Mrs. Spavin.
Oh, yes.
She showed it me. Very, very powerful story, that was. A real page-turner.
Oh, yes.
What happens next? I asked myself. When I reach the last page of the manuscript, I must find out what happens next.
Well, Mrs. Quirk, perhaps you will get the chance. Step, Peter. It seems to me, ladies and Simeon, that we have been searching for the crock of gold when all the time it was with us here.
Ah, tea.
Sorry, not now, Step, Peter.
Oh.
Step, Peter.
Yes, Primus.
I have discovered a literary genius. Let us hurry home and salute her.
Essentially, Mother, there's been something of a shift of position with regard to your book.
Oh, has there?
Essentially, grand stepmeter. Spavin and Spavin would like to make you an offer for it.
Indeed.
There, Mother. What do you think of that?
The truth is, I hadn't actually read your work. I was relying on the opinion of my reader, Simeon W. Huff. But let's face it, grand stepmeter, there is no substitute for getting the old optics down and reading the stuff oneself. And when I did, what did I find?
You are too late.
A very, very powerful story. A real page-turner.
Too late?
I reject your offer.
Mother, no.
I reject it.
Mrs. Spavin.
You had your chance and you refused it. This very morning, I arranged terms for my book with the eminent publishers Bradbury and Evans.
What?
And very satisfactory terms they are, too.
Mother! Oh, Mother!
Mrs. Spavin, shall I tell you what I really think of your story? It's stale buns. It's dung and dross. Publish that dribble? No, thank you. There. Have you read that?
Primus, what have you done?
Me? My first inclination was to publish the wretched book. It's all your fault for telling me who wrote it.
Primus?
Yes, Step Peter?
We are in crisis.
Again, Step Peter?
We must hold a meeting. First thing tomorrow.
That was episode one of Bookcases by Martin Wade. Primus was played by Michael Cochran, Edith by Elizabeth Spriggs, Gerald by David Horovitch, Cordelia by Maggie Steed, Simeon by Charles Simpson, and Mrs. Quirk by Joan Sims. Prince Albert and Smiles, Ewan Meredith, and John, Stephen Critchlow. Bookcases was directed by Cherry Cookson.